by and large, I'm in favour of I don't like short-termism. We talk about it from governments and organisations all the time. They make cost savings at the front end, and then at the far end, it ends up costing you far more. So would it be worth investing, say, £1,000 in prisoners coming out of prison in a care package for them to smarten them up and get them ready to maybe get a job and be better members of society, because it would cost society less in the long run? I don't know. It's something that's in a new book. We're going to talk to an ex-prisoner. We'll find out his story. He's written a story, or he's written a book about prison reform. Let's talk to James Carey-Rice on the programme this morning. James, morning to you.
Good morning, Bernsey.
Thank you very much for your time this morning. Tell us about the book. What's it called? What does it say?
There's two books. One's called Within These Streets, which is really my story, and it goes on into the success that I made in my life through the changes that I made. And the other one is called Another Kind of Knowing, which sort of goes into more sort of psychological and just some tools that to help in life, you know, help people how to think better and, you know, use their time better, really.
Okay. And in that, are you proposing that there's a care package for prisoners, or are you just proposing that anyway on as just
no,
as a...
No, that's not actually in the book. I mean, right. That's really come out of... My interest is in restorative justice, really, mm-hmm. has been for many, many years. You know, I know all about the prison system. I went through it. I did four different sentences, and, you know, the whole situation just seems to set you back, you know. And sometimes, you know, the public may think, well, yes, you deserve that. You know, you did what you did, and, you know, why should we help you? But the trouble is, you know, the minute you put somebody in a prison, they're on the way back, you know, they're coming back. And if they were dysfunctional before they went in, and you don't offer anything to sort of help them to overcome what's wrong with them, they're going to come back even more dysfunctional the next time. And it's just little wonder that they fail. So my interest in restorative justice is one where if a person commits a crime, there's two crimes, really. One of them is against an individual, possibly. It could be a car, or it could be a person that could have mm-hmm. stolen something. And the other one is against the community, because it affects the whole community. But what happens is people never face that community. And the communities now have lost touch with the criminal justice system. When they should be more involved in it, because the police and the prisons and, I mean, this is, they all belong to the people. You know, we pay the taxes and they're ours, really. You know, and we don't really get much of a chance to organise these things or put into practice things that really work, you know. In a restorative justice system, what would happen is you would, a person would have to face the community because they've offended them, and the community have a right to say what they think about that. And the victims have a right. And then there should be restitution, full restitution as well, for the damage and the theft and whatever's gone on. But then also the community not only would do that, but they would also say, well, you know, what's going wrong in your life and what can we do to help you get back on your feet, you know? And, of course, this just doesn't happen anymore. And it would be better in the long run if we did things like that, you know?
Mm. What went wrong in your life? People will be screaming at me. Ask him what he did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was very clever at school and very good at sports, but my family disintegrated, you know, a very, very noisy, violent home, very difficult place. And when my parents split when I was 13, I ran away. The only way I could survive is on the streets with scallywags. So, and they were like my family, you know, and that's where I, you know, you do naughty things to be somebody, to raise your reputation, to, you know, to leave your mark. And unfortunately, I got by, you know, being bad, you know. And as I got older and bigger, I started fighting, got in more trouble. Yeah, I went to Borstal. I was supposed to be there for 8 months. I was there for 2 years because even inside there, I was really bad, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was unyielding, shall we say.
So you were raging against the machine?
Yeah, yeah. I just wouldn't bow the knee to anybody or anything, you know. And I was just very angry and... But what I didn't realise, like many young people, is, you know, once you begin going down that path, you think it's kind of a choice to begin with, but now it's not a choice anymore. It's a bit like drug addiction, you know. You make the choice, but now it's chosen you, and you can't walk away. And, You know, there was many times I hated my life. I can't stand it. You know, I got put back in prison. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. You know, I hated what I'd done. I hated my life. But hating it and disliking it and regretting it is not going to sort it out. It, you know, that's just not enough.
But what could have changed it then, James? What could have happened differently in the system that would have changed it and maybe got you back on the straight and narrow earlier?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's one probably most of us need to look at more closely, and actually it would be great if we could do something about it. What happened to me was I ended up managing to get to a prison called Grendon, and in Grendon it's the only prison where they do group therapy. And the strange thing is, in Grendon, that the prisoners make the rules, you know, and we held each other to the rules too. And, you know, like, there was no bullying, no drug taking, anyone who's sort of pushing their weight around, the whole community would be on their back, sit down, right, who do you think you are? Why do you think that you can do, you know? And we all, through therapy, had to really look at ourselves. And one of the things I found, Bernsey, was I heard other people on my group saying things about them which I knew were true about me. And I thought, you know, I've never really told anyone that. I've never really been honest, you know. I'm all covered up under this big image. Mm-hmm. And what I did was I started to talk about my issues. And what I did, because I spent 18 months there, and then I've never been back to prison since. It was 35 years ago. You know, if I was under any pressure or anything going on, I know I can talk to somebody because I enabled myself to do that. I'm not afraid of what's inside me. I'm not afraid of the softer side of myself. I'm not afraid to tell my truth, even if I'm afraid, you know? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I noticed about people who were in Grendon, I think that when they were released, because they'd learned to talk, because they'd learned to understand themselves better, they were able to flag things up and avert a lot of trouble, you know?
Does that prison still exist, James?
Yes, it certainly does. So
if it's a success, why are there not more prisons like that? We've got a lot of prisons around here. We've got Hulnick down the road, HMP Humber and things like that. There's usually some fairly bad stories about them from time to time. I'm not criticising anybody down there. It's just the prison system. Why are there not more prisons like Grendon if it's a success?
I think it just takes courage. You know, I noticed in America, I lived in America for a number of years and worked in a criminal justice department there. And there's a really big thing in America and Britain about, you know, let's knock them down, give them a hard time, punish them, you know, like this.
Yeah.
You can understand the anger. And don't get me wrong, I've got three children growing up and I've got four grandsons. I don't like crime any more than anybody else. But I don't see the point in having a system that makes them worse and brings them out less adequate and more alienated from society, can't get on board, you know. So I think that what would need to happen is a complete rethink of the whole thing. I mean, the first thing is, you know, even prison officers anywhere will tell you this. If you can keep people out of prison, they'll probably stay out of prison. But once you start putting them in prison, they'll keep coming back because it becomes familiar. When you think about it, if you kind of had a therapeutic approach, even with people who were dangerous, and they had to be, the public has got to be protected from them, even for a few years or a number of years, whatever. But if they were facing up to their lives through therapy, and if they were facing up like anger management and, you know, making some restitution, being sorry for what they did, you know, That would it just creates different people, you know, a whole different outcome. And I think with the staff as well in prisons, you know, a lot of them go in with a really, really good sort of attitude towards, you know, making a contribution in lives and possibly helping people to turn around, because that's what we all really want and that's what we all really need. And then the staff themselves become very disillusioned, you know, because it's just stuck in a rigmarole that doesn't work.
I can imagine it's like a war in there. I just want to sort of finally touch on, and maybe I was a better broadcaster, I'd have gone straight to it, but I know in the press release sort of accompanying you that you talk about a care package, perhaps up to £1,000 for prisoners coming out of jail for the likes of free tattoo removal, elocution lessons, teeth whitening and things like that. That would be, in certain quarters, quite emotive and people would presumably have a go at that. How would that make a difference?
I think really, if I'm really honest with you, this proposal is designed to raise the issue, let's have the conversation, you know. You can obviously see that. It costs £40,000 a year to keep somebody in the prison. And if the prison's not working, you're spending £40,000 a year on making a person less adequate for when they're released. That's bad news for everybody. And what galls people, what really gets people mad, is the thought that you're going to help this person. You know, this person who's just done something awful. But we don't have a choice. You know, unless you're going to keep somebody in forever, then you have a responsibility to get them ready to come back into the community. And the responsibility isn't that we pamper a prisoner. The responsibility is that we must make sure that the community will be safe. We have a massive responsibility putting somebody back into a town or a village or somewhere they go. You know, and I don't think we take that responsibility very serious. So these it's only like a small measure that I talked about. It doesn't cost much, actually, to do things quite differently. I mean, I'll give you an example. There's a program called Challenge for Change, okay? And I think it's run in a prison up in your area, actually. I can't remember now. There is definitely one in your area. And what they do is they take over a wing of a prison, and the prisoners can volunteer to go on that wing, okay? On that wing, they do blood tests, so they can't take drugs, and none of them do. There's always what they call adjudications all through a prison system where people break the prison rules and they have to go before the local governors and all that. Well, on the wing that is run for Challenge for Change, there's no such thing. There are no problems. It just goes off the charts. Everybody's well behaved. People become accountable to each other and accountable for their behaviour 100%.
Does that cost more than the £40,000 a year? Cause
somewhere... No, it doesn't. And this is the point, see. And these people, it's proven beyond doubt that they do not go on to recommit crimes anywhere near the levels of the rest of the prison population. So it is the eternal question. If these things work and proven to work, then why aren't we doing it? An investment in the short term would create massive success in the long term. But nobody's got the guts to make that decision.
It's fascinating. I've enjoyed talking to you. Time's rather against us. Where can people find out more about you, read your books? What do they search for?
Oh, my name, James Carr A. Rice. You can find me on Amazon or go to jamescarrarice.com and buy them that way. Yeah.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you and have a good day.
Yeah, you too. What do you think? As always, do let us know.